Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On Monday, the Supreme Court declined to hear a challenge to a Texas county's removal of 17 books from its public libraries. That leaves in place a lower court ruling that allows state and local governments in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi to decide what people can and cannot read. The number of right-wing-backed book bans across the country is unprecedented. Since 2021, there have been nearly 23,000 book bans in public schools, with the overwhelming majority targeting books about racism, sexuality, gender, and history, according to PEN America. Donald Trump's return to office has accelerated censorship efforts, with Republicans pressuring and emboldening local officials to remove books and silence perspectives they deem, quote, dangerous. PEN America is a nonprofit dedicated to defending the freedom of expression, and they warn about this disturbing normalization of censorship in a new report. They write, in 2025, book censorship in the U.S. is rampant and common. Never before in the life of any living American have so many books been removed from school libraries across the country. Never before have so many states passed laws or regulations to facilitate the banning of books, including bans on specific titles statewide. Never before has access to so many stories been stolen from so many children. It's important to note that two-thirds of Americans oppose efforts to restrict books in public schools, and nearly 9 in 10 public school parents say they are confident in their local public schools selecting appropriate books for their kids to read. This is according to a 2024 Knight Foundation survey. Joining us to talk about the fight against book bans and censorship are the authors of three books. Now, these books, one was banned, one was removed from a school, and then one, for various reasons, for a Trump executive order, at Yosemite National Park, they did not buy one of the books. It's not that it was banned, but they decided not to buy future copies of the book. We're joined today by Patty McCormick, Obi Kaufman, and Lawrence Yep. Patty McCormick is the author of several critically acclaimed novels for young adults and children. Her book, Sold, is about a 13-year-old girl, Lakshmi, who was sold into prostitution in India. Sold is the second most banned book in the United States, according to PEN America. After a library in Fairhope, Alabama, refused to move Sold from the young adult section to the adult section, they lost $40,000 in state funding. Patty McCormick went to that library to talk about her book and was prepared to be challenged by the book banners in the audience. But once she shared the story about the book and the impact it has had on young people, no one said anything. Patty McCormick is also author of Never Fall Down, the true story of a boy who survived the killing fields of Cambodia by playing music for the Khmer Rouge, and his co-author of the young readers edition of I Am Malala, the story of Malala Yousafzai, the girl who was shot by the Taliban in her fight for education. Patty McCormick is a two-time National Book Award finalist. Her books have been named to the New York Times Notable Book List, Publishers Weekly Best Book List, and NPR's Best Book List. Hi, Patty. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rose. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Obi Kaufman is an award-winning author of six best-selling books on California's ecology, biodiversity, and geography. Last month, Obi Kaufman got verification that his 2019 book, The State of Water, Understanding California's Most Precious Resource, was flagged under the Trump administration's March executive order called Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History. And it was flagged at Yosemite National Park. While the book has not been pulled from the shelves, no bookstore within the park will purchase copies of The State of Water. In the book, Obi Kaufman argues that environmental conservation and restoration efforts are necessary not only for ethical reasons, but also as a matter of human survival. His publisher, Heyday Books, says The State of Water is sold out of its current printing, and the next printing is being rushed. Obi Kaufman's other books include The California Field Atlas and most recently, The State of Fire, Why California Burns. Obi Kaufman was a 2025 featured artist for the National Gallery of Art in Yosemite. Hi, Obi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, hi, Rose. It's an honor to be on KAALW with you today.
Well, it's an honor to have you. Thank you so much. We're also joined by Lawrence Yep, the author of 60 award-winning novels for children and young adults, including Dragon Wings, a children's novel he wrote in 1975 about the struggles and dreams of Chinese immigrants navigating opportunity and prejudice in San Francisco in the early 1900s. Moonshadow, an 8-year-old, comes to the United States to join his father and is troubled by the prejudice he encounters. He makes some friends, survives the earthquake, and devotes himself to helping his father achieve a dreamed goal, building and flying an airplane. In 2022, a middle school in Blount County, Tennessee, removed Dragon Wings from its curriculum after parents expressed concern about the content in the book. In February 2022, WBIR spoke with Kala Williams, who was so excited that her sixth grade daughter was reading Dragon Wings in class. But once parents started to complain, the book was taken from the students when they were on chapter 10. She says they didn't get to finish it and they didn't have a test on it. She said that decision fostered discrimination. HarperCollins issued a 50th anniversary edition of Dragon Wings this year, and the stage adaptation of Dragon Wings was produced at the Berkeley Rep Theater, the Kennedy Center, and Lincoln Center. Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's great to have all of you. I wish we were talking under different circumstances, but I have to say what a pleasure it was to learn more about you and the really incredible work that you have done. And I'm wondering if you could all just talk a little bit about the book that was affected either by a ban, taken out of school, or no longer bought by Yosemite National Park. Larry, let's start with you. To think that you wrote Dragon Wings back in 1975, and to your knowledge, is this the first time it's ever been pulled from a school curriculum?
No, it's been pulled from other schools. But, you know, I can understand parents' desire to protect their children, but I think they're really doing their own children a disservice, because I write about crazy rich Asians. I write about crazy poor Asians. And I write about those who they can't buy an airplane, but they can build one. So I really write about the reach of the imagination. And I write about those who can grasp with the mind and heart what they can't grasp with the hand. So I write about dreamers. And I think it's it doesn't help their children to pull a book that talks about achieving your dreams.
And I really loved the piece that WBIR did about Dragon Wings, because Kala Williams was so excited that her sixth grade daughter was reading this book and was learning about a child experience that maybe she had never learned about. And you've talked about this in past interviews. Can you elaborate on that a bit, about why it's so important for kids to learn about what life is like for other kids that they might not come in contact with?
Well, I actually grew up in an African-American neighborhood just a few blocks away from Fillmore Street. And I went to school in Chinatown. And those two worlds were the only, the life in the ghetto was, two ghettos was the only life I really knew. But then my mother got me a library card, and that just opened up all these doors for me. Mm. And so the books that I found, they taught me about adjusting. They taught me about how to learn about new customs and new vocabularies. And that was something that I did every time that I got on and off the bus. And so really, in my books, what I'm trying to invite people to do is to step off the bus with me.
And what was your response? Have you been able to talk to any of the parents who expressed concern about the content in Dragon Wings? We learn in this WBIR piece that they were concerned about violence, abuse, underage drinking in this book. Have you been able to engage with any of these people?
Well, I did speak with the this poor librarian that got fired because she wanted to keep my book on her shelves. So, no, I haven't really been able to speak with these people directly. But it strikes me that it's I once met a doctor who had a new hospital in a rural part of America. And he said some of his patients, it was the first time they'd ever seen an elevator. And, it just struck me that, so what if you had a few people that decided elevators were too dangerous? And so they decided they would always take the stairs. Well, I mean, that's up to them what they do. But what if they decided that the elevators were too dangerous for the whole community and insisted everybody had to walk up the stairs? I think that's really what these people are doing.
Larry Yep is the author of 60 award-winning novels for children and young adults, including Dragon Wings. It's a novel he wrote back in 1975 about the struggles and dreams of Chinese immigrants navigating opportunity and prejudice in San Francisco in the early 1900s. And a number of schools have removed this book from their curriculum. The one school that got a lot of media attention was a middle school in Blount County, Tennessee. This happened in 2022. And it was just so incredible to learn that the kids were actually on chapter 10 and the book was taken from them. They were reading it in the class. And so they were not able to even finish the book in the class. We're also joined today by Patty McCormick, who's the author of several critically acclaimed novels for young adults. And her book, Sold, is about a 13-year-old who had been sold into prostitution in India, the second most banned book in the United States. And Patty, it was so interesting to hear about your experience of actually talking with, or at least telling a story in front of the people who supported banning that book. Before we talk about that experience, can you tell us more about Sold? You travel to India and Nepal to visit brothels and jails. And you also drew on your own experience as a survivor of sexual harm.
Yeah, I wrote the book to be part of the solution. And it tells the story based on my reporting of what really happens to 13 and 14-year-old girls all over the world. And so to deprive kids of this book really does them a disservice. I agree with Larry, whose work I've admired for a very long time, this notion that parents want to protect their children. But they're not really protecting, they're not really serving their kids by withholding information about the world as it really is. If anything, we're making them more vulnerable by hiding away the realities that are out there. And I think also to Larry's point, by depriving them of a book that describes the experience that's so far outside their own, you're depriving them of the chance to develop empathy. One of the things that happens when I go to classrooms is that very often kids will say, "I didn't realize that this was happening to my peers right now. And what can I do? How can I become an activist? How can I raise money to fight trafficking?" And even if they don't become activists, their hearts are opened just by hearing the story of somebody who has had this incredible hardship. And may still be suffering.
It was also really incredible to learn that when you go to schools, Patty, it's a pretty regular experience when a child will wait around until after the event is over and say, "This has happened to me," or "This is happening to me." Or in some cases, they will talk about it with other kids in the classroom. And you have said in past interviews that at that point, they're actually finally able to get help and resources.
Right. They might not necessarily be being trafficked, but there's some kind of sexual harm being done to them in their homes. And that there's something about a book, especially a book that's not right on the nose about their own experience. It's a couple degrees away from their experience that allows them to feel less alone and to stand up and speak their truth. And then get help. So we're also depriving those kids of the opportunity to get the help that they need.
Did you ever think when you were writing this book that when you gave talks that young people would ask for help or talk about their own experience of being abused?
No, I wasn't sure anybody would even read this book. And it is a tough read, and it's not something that's for everybody. And I don't think kids are seeking out this book because they want to learn about sex. That's not it at all. But I think there is something quite magical about the way a book opens a portal to another world, opens your heart, or opens your mouth.
You've also said in other interviews that you worked really hard to use language that was not graphic from the point of view of a 13-year-old girl who's in pain.
Right. That is not my. I don't want to brutalize the reader. I'm very aware, as Larry is and other authors who write for kids, we're writing for other people's children. And I need to take care with my language. The other piece of it is this is a 13-year-old girl who's very naive. She doesn't even know what's happening to her. So she's not going to use graphic language. Her way of expressing what's happening is basically bewilderment, fear, confusion, physical pain. And to hear book banners call that pornography is really, it's not insulting to me. It's insulting to the young women that I interviewed who opened up painful memories to tell their stories in the hopes that it would inform the world and save other people. So you're absolutely right. I think that to be banning books is so misguided when you think of all the levels of review that a book goes through to make sure that it's appropriate for kids as opposed to what they might find on the internet, et cetera.
And I mentioned in the intro about your experience going to that library in Fairhope, Alabama. They refused to move your books sold from the young adult section to the adult section, and they lost $40,000 in state funding. That's a lot of money for a library. And it was so interesting, Patty, to learn that some of these book banners were in the audience and you were prepared to be challenged by them. But when you talked about the book, you talked about the effect it had, no one said anything.
Yeah, the tempers were so high in this particular town that they had police in attendance at the talk that I gave. And I had been told that these are rabble-rousers, these are name callers. And I don't love that, but I can handle that. I was ready. Nobody said anything. I said the things that I just said to you about how the book creates empathy and awareness and an opportunity for kids to get help. Nobody said anything. I said, "Is there anybody here in the audience who was part of the challenge, who wants to ask me a question, who wants to talk about it?" Nothing. A couple people filtered out. A couple. I asked three times, "Is there anybody here who really wants to engage around this issue?" And no one did. And this has happened to me before. I've been in touch with Moms for Liberty, the national founders of the organization. I've been in touch with a local chapter in Utah. I called the Arkansas head of the Public Library Association, the people who are doing the banning, and they talk to me, but it's lip service about, "Oh, yes, your book has literary merit." And we just want to keep our kids safe, and we'll reconsider. And then they double down on their efforts to ban the book. And $40,000, you're right, that is a lot of money to a small library. The beautiful thing that happened there was that the community and people from outside the community who heard about this raised money, donated almost, I think, more than they had lost. But this ban, this funding ban, is going to go on unless and until they move the book, and they're just not going to do that.
Well, incredible. Patty McCormick is the author of Sold, which is about a 13-year-old girl, Lakshmi, who's been sold into prostitution in India. It is the second most banned book in the United States, according to PEN America. We are also joined today by Obi Kaufman, an award-winning author of six best-selling books on California's ecology, biodiversity, and geography. Last month, Obi got verification that his 2019 book, The State of Water: Understanding California's Most Precious Resource, was flagged under the Trump administration's March executive order called, quote, "Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History," end quote, at Yosemite National Park. So this book was not pulled from the shelves, but no bookstore within the park will purchase copies of The State of Water. And Obi, I remember reading about this in SF Gate and then checking out some of your social media posts about it. And like so many others who read about it, the first question was, why was a book about water flagged?
Well, I believe that I really aim to have all of my books maintain a clear ethical compass. Okay. So, one, making the case for the continued defense of and the celebration of California's endemic biodiversity. And two, to empower through scientific and what can be called sort of aesthetic education, seeing what is true and beautiful in the more than human world, and balancing those insights with democratic principles of engaging one's responsibilities while enjoying one's rights, if you will. So I believe that all of this has sort of amounted to this posture that is anathema to the clear authoritarian agenda of narrowing the story, controlling the story, and obfuscating the narrative.
And I'm sure before this happened, you were reading about book bans. Maybe you know some people whose books have been banned. Did you ever think something like this would happen to your book, The State of Water?
No. And the fact that I understand that Larry's book was originally published in the 70s, but this is 6 years old now, right? So I wrote this actually during the first Trump administration, and were I to make a full-on second edition of the book, I think that I would have to amend it greatly. The story has changed. The flagging has really surprised me. There's a couple of things that have surprised me. One is that the community response. If you go take a look at my social media, I am at Coyote Thunder on Instagram. If you check this out, the comments are 100% in support of my vision and my narrative and my story, my account of things, right? I mean, we're talking about a very thin book here, Rose. It's like it's only 150 pages. It basically reads like a math problem. How much water storage do we have? How do we move it around the state? And who is using it, right? These are basic truths that I have compiled in order to figure out this very difficult and vital problem for myself. And yet even this is perceived as a enemy to a regime that would like to that views all complexity, all nuance as enemy to the simple truths which they present, right? The executive order's title is Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History. When in fact, if you listen to the rhetoric on, for example, water in California from the executive level, from the White House right now, what you get is a panoply of misguided misinformation that operates in a spectrum where it's like it's wrong at best and it's a lie at worst.
And I really feel for the people who work at these parks because they don't want to be doing this. I recently went to Muir Woods and was talking to a few people there about how they had to take down wayside exhibits about the women who fought for Muir Woods and the First Peoples of Marin and the indigenous people of the area. They don't want to be doing this. I mean, to think that Yosemite National Park, so it's not that your book is, quote, banned, but they can no longer buy copies of the book. Have you been in touch with any park officials to talk about this?
Yes, I have certainly. While I have verified to my satisfaction that this flagging is true, this is a very clandestine shadow list. I won't be naming the companies, individuals, or organizations who told me that this was indeed the case. As concessionaires of the National Park Service and contractors of the Department of the Interior, I'd hate for anyone to lose their job, violate their contract, or endure something even more punitive. But because while the shadow list of books does exist, the effects of that list have yet to be realized by my publisher or their distributor. Like you were saying, there's a very real possibility that the flagging will not be acknowledged by the employees themselves. That remains conceivable. And now, while there have been other reporters and investigative journalists who have contacted the Department of the Interior and the National Park Service about this issue, they've been met consistently with obstinance and reverse accusations of being in league with a hostile media.
Wow. Larry, I'm just curious, hearing Obi's story, I mean, you've been a writer for many, many years, and a lot of people were so surprised to learn that The State of Water, a book about California's most precious resource, would be flagged. What's your response, Larry, just listening to Obi's story?
Well, I'm just appalled. I mean, I used to visit a lot of schools, and I'd meet a kid that maybe would say that they didn't see any reason why they had to read about Chinese Americans. And I would do imagination games with the kids to try and teach them about storytelling. And that same kid would say, "Well, I have nothing to talk about because nothing happens to me." And he was like this limpet that had sealed himself against a rock. And nothing got in, nothing got out. And what I would try and do is show them with imagination games that really the best storytelling begins with bringing out the specialness of ordinary things. And I would get them to, I would just ask them to name an object in the room, and then we'd build stories and worlds out of that. But so this mentality that just, this limpet mentality, it's mystifying and it's counterproductive to themselves.
Patty, what would you like to add after listening to Obi's story?
Well, I think the common denominator here is that the people who want to censor these stories want to control the narrative and think that they could do so by getting rid of or hiding or shadow listing or all the different ways you can censor books. But that's not going to change the truth. That's not going to change what actually happened to Chinese immigrant communities, what has happened to our waters, what has happened to children who've been sexualized against their will. That we're powerful as writers, and we are speaking truth to power. And while these powerful forces may not like it and may think that they can edit out or erase that information, they can't. You can't censor curiosity. People will try to find these stories no matter what.
Well,
Well,
at
we're going to
another
take a
time,
quick. Oh, go ahead, Larry.
I'm sorry, no. I'm a big fan of Mark Twain, and so I once made a pilgrimage to Hannibal, Missouri. And when I was there, I went on the official Mark Twain steamboat. I went to the official Mark Twain caves, and then I went to the official Mark Twain buildings in the town. But this was in May, So of course there were a lot of buses there with school kids also doing the exact same thing. And at the end of the day, when I was walking to my rental car in the parking lot, the kids were boarding the bus, but one of them got out of line and came running over to me, and he said, "Hey, mister, I gotta come here, but why are you here?" And so I tried to explain to him that Missouri seemed exotic to me, and he just couldn't understand that. And I think that's a sad part of that mentality that wants to censor things, because they don't realize how special their own lives are. I mean, it's not only just about reading about other cultures; it's actually about taking a step to the side and looking at the world around them and the culture around them. I mean, what is they don't learn to value what is actually theirs, that they actually have in their hands.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. Today, we are joined by three authors talking about censorship, book bans, and the fight for the right to read: Larry Yep, Obi Kaufman, and Patty McCormick. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today, we are speaking with three authors about book bans, censorship, and the fight for the right to read. Since 2021, there have been nearly 23,000 book bans in public schools, according to PEN America. They say that this is really a disturbing normalization of censorship. They've got a new report out. In 2025, never before in the life of any living American have so many books been systematically removed from school libraries across the country. Never before has access to so many stories been stolen from so many children. And it is so important to point out that the majority of the people in this country do not agree with this. Two-thirds of Americans oppose these book bans. 9 in 10 public school parents say that they're confident in their local public schools selecting appropriate books for their kids to read. And it's just so important to repeat that. If you have any questions for today's guests, Patty McCormick, Obi Kaufman, and Larry Yep, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. What are your thoughts on these book bans? If you have kids in school, have they been affected by this? If you read about Obi Kaufman's book, The State of Water, on the that was flagged under the Trump executive order, and Yosemite now cannot buy copies of the book, what was your response? So many people said, "Wait a minute, what? How could this happen?" So Obi Kaufman is an award-winning author of six best-selling books on California's ecology, biodiversity, and geography. Patty McCormick is the author of many critically acclaimed novels for young adults. Her book, Sold, is the second most banned book in the U.S. It's about 13-year-old Lakshmi, who's been sold into prostitution in India. Larry Yep is the author of 60 award-winning novels for kids and young adults. Dragon Wings is a children's novel he wrote back in 1975 about the struggles and dreams of Chinese immigrants navigating opportunity and prejudice in San Francisco. And in 2022, a middle school in Tennessee removed that book from its curriculum. Obi, I'm wondering what your thoughts are after listening to Patty and Larry talking about what they've been through with your book, with their books, because again, it's just, I mean, you could say, I guess you could not maybe not be surprised, although it's not right, that Sold has been banned because a lot of people have not read it and they see prostitution. They think it's not appropriate for their child. But for a book about water, now that you're in this group of people whose books have been hard to get, what are your thoughts on the stories you've heard from Patty and Larry? Obi, are you with us? Maybe you're on mute.
Well, it's fascinating, you know. I think that Patty and Larry's books both focus on children, right? On the idea, which is particularly like a vulnerable thing, especially when there's this larger idea that Patty was just referring to, that who owns the truth and what are the truths that we need to protect children from in order to make this particular kind of citizen, right? Where indeed my books are sort of geared towards adult on adult conversations and discussions about what a citizen is and what, for example, freedom might be. Like in the first part of a conversation, I was talking about rights and responsibilities. My book, The State of Water, Understanding California's Most Precious Resource, begins with three ethical presumptions. And it goes, it says, we have the right to extract, but we have the responsibility to replenish. We have the right to develop, but we have the responsibility to restore. We have the right to inhabit, but we have the responsibility to set aside. So already there's this clear reciprocal land ethic that moves through all of my books. And this political recipe for engaging that ethic, forms these principles that contradict the ethically incoherent, morally bankrupt, expurgatory ethnic basis that forms the rhetorical backbone of so much of what this administration claims to be.
Right, and it goes way beyond just take, take, take. It makes you question, what are we doing to our planet? I mean, this is something that we just have to have more discussions about. And to think that a place like Yosemite National Park, where people go for a variety of reasons, but also to really learn about what you're writing about, and to think that they cannot buy your book. And yet, at the same time, we should say that your publisher, Heyday Books, says The State of Water is sold out in its current printing, and the next printing is being rushed. I'm sure that so many more people are now reading Sold and Dragon Wings. So while they ban these books, they're really highlighting these books at the same time. I'd like to ask you all, as writers who just try to get such a wide range of ideas out there for kids and adults and to start conversation. This is really unprecedented in our lifetime to think that 23,000 books have been banned in public schools nationwide since 2021. And I love how PEN America puts this, that, I mean, I don't love this, but I think they make such a great point here. Never before has access to so many stories been stolen from so many children. And it's easy, Patty, to just throw this number out, 23,000 book bans. But to sit with that and to really think about how unprecedented this is, can you talk about that?
Sure. And I think that one of the things that Obi pointed to is a very pernicious shadow effort. 23,000 is the number that Penn comes up with. But we don't know all the libraries, all the librarians, all the teachers, all the school boards who say, let's not even buy that book. Let's not even put it on our shelf, or let's silently deaccession it. Let's just remove it. We're not talking about all the authors who say, ooh, I better not write that book because that's going to get me in hot water. So there's a way in which there's an incredible chill across the landscape. And so 23,000 is horrific, but I have a feeling that there are many more.
Wow, that's a really good point. I mean, especially if you're in an area where things are heated, because I mean, like to think that librarians are getting death threats. This is very, very serious. So you make such a good point about that. What are your thoughts, Larry? I mean, to think that you wrote Dragon Wings back in 1975 and it's still being pulled from curricula in middle school. Can you talk about just how unprecedented this is? 23,000 plus book bans. And as Patty pointed out, in many cases, librarians and teachers are thinking, I don't want to deal with the teachers, the parents, so I'm not going to bring this up, period.
I think it's a mentality that's almost criminal. My mind goes back to Fahrenheit 451 and the book burning, and hearing all these wonderful voices dying in the flames. It's just I'm it just I'm sorry to see that the world is turning back. At first, I was afraid the world was turning back to the 1950s, because as an Asian American, the 1950s was not always the happiest time. But the world seems to be turning back to the 19th century and the Know Nothing Party, and where people are actually proud of their own personal prejudices and the fact that they can ignore facts and science, like Obie's books.
And what are your thoughts, Obi, about this moment we're in and just how unprecedented this is?
Yeah, I think I have a little bit more of an optimistic view maybe than Larry does. We haven't gone full Bradbury yet, right? And I'd like to push back also on even what you said, Rose, as far as like we haven't seen this in our lifetime and the unprecedented nature of this whole scenario, because we did have Bradbury back in the 50s warning us of exactly this. Those of us that read books, I mean, even reading books is a resource base that is not necessarily particularly engaged by most of the population now, as scrolling replaces reading for the thing that people do every day, all day long, right? Reading books is an art and a practice in and of itself, and it's not the only art and practice, right? There is this momentum though, and this pushback against this very vocal, dynamic minority in power, as I mean, as you know, Rose, with all of your work in the with the authoritarian playbook, this is something that is born from demagoguery, right? And will perhaps even die with that. Now we do have this firm. We're sort of embroiled, continuing in the Project 2025 agenda, but now at the dawn of 2026. We might see a horizon past this despair. There is no Project 2026, right? Like they wanted to do everything that they could do. They, whoever, quote unquote, the conservative, the right wing, dynamic political power that wished for all of this, this multi-step agenda, right? But they don't. But there's nowhere to go from there except to desperately hang on to this vocal minority. When in fact, as evidenced by, for example, what's happened now in my social media feed, where it's 100% support. The book is sold out. It points to the fecklessness and the uselessness and the futility of the attempt by the authoritarian powers to strangle the truth, to wrestle it into their own narrative.
I wonder if I can
And to
add
your, oh, go ahead, Patty.
and that is very cheering, and I needed to hear that. I'm also aware of all the kids who are starting banned book groups. They get together after school and read the books that they're not supposed to read. There are people running school board to replace the voices that would call for banning. But I also just wanted to add one other thing, and that is, Rose, you reminded me of this. The librarians and the teachers who are on the front lines here. It's one thing to be an author from the safety of wherever we are. We hear about this sort of secondhand, and sometimes it has a positive effect on book sales, and sometimes it doesn't. But librarians getting death threats, librarians having to carry mace to work, librarians having their kids' names and addresses published. Teachers leaving the field because they can't stand this heavy-handed encroachment on their ability to teach. I think they're the people we really need to lift up, and they're the people we really need to support in any way we can.
Right. It's so true. And these librarians and teachers are fighting authoritarianism on a daily basis. And Obi, you just reminded me to repeat this again, that the loudest voices tend to get the microphone or have the microphone. But it's so important to point out that most people oppose this. Two-thirds of Americans oppose efforts to restrict books in public schools. And then it would be easy to think, because they're so loud, that parents all over the place are just saying, I don't want my kid to read that. But according to this Knight Foundation survey, 9 in 10 public school parents say they have confidence in their public schools to select appropriate books for their kids to read. So it's just, it's easy to forget that because we're moving, you know, so far in the wrong direction, many would say, but a lot of people just, they don't agree with this. Your thoughts on that, Obi? Oh, you might be muted
yes,
again.
Yes. I find that hope, for example, hope exists where it always has existed. And that's within the local community, within the local watershed, in your independent bookstore. Okay, so there is culture, there is community there waiting for you. Please encourage the very act of reading, which is sort of a revolutionary act. Now, isn't it, to actually finish a book? You've been saying all these statistics here, Rose. Like, I wonder how many of these adults have actually themselves read a book in the past year, a whole book, right? Or even picked up a book, right?
You're reminding me, Copperfields in Petaluma is a great bookstore, and they have a table of banned books. And I was there with my niece a couple years ago, and she just casually walked by it, and she said, "Oh, I've read all those books." So,
that's it.
You know, kids, they're so hungry for knowledge. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. Even though people disagree with these book bans, it's just such a gift to learn more about all of the work that you have all done. And we'd love to have you back to talk more about your work. We've got a lot of emails from listeners who are saying thank you so much for the work that you have done and will continue to do. Patty McCormick is the author of several critically acclaimed novels for young adults. Her book, Sold, is the second most banned book in the U.S. Obi Kaufman is an award-winning author of 6 best-selling books. His 2019 book, The State of Water, Understanding California's Most Precious Resource, was flagged under a Trump executive order, and it will not be bought by bookstores in Yosemite National Park, but their publisher, Heyday, says it has been sold out in its current printing. Larry Yep is the author of 60 award-winning books for kids and young adults, including Dragon Wings. A middle school in Tennessee removed Dragon Wings from its curriculum. HarperCollins just issued a 50th anniversary edition of Dragon Wings this year, and there have been many stage adaptations of the book. I hope you can take the time to read more about our guest's work, KALW.org, click news, and your call. Larry, Obi, and Patty, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Rose.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call's Authoritarian Playbook.